I speak to you in God's holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. This reading today from the Gospel needs some unpacking in 2020. Because this reading from the Gospel was written, Jesus' teaching was in his own time. And we have to understand the underlying purpose for this. The underlying purpose was that Jesus is calling upon his hearers to establish a moral foundation, a moral framework, and to live by it. And it was true for his own time. The problem that we have is that people have literalized the scripture rather than understanding the spirit of the scripture and have used this reading as a weapon, which has been very destructive to both women and men over the centuries, and very destructive even in our own time to people who have made a mistake into a marriage and then in that marriage done their best to try to rectify the problems in the marriage through getting counseling, but still to no avail, and then found their only solution was to get a divorce. And then they seek to be remarried. And up until 1976, the Anglican Church would say no. But in 1976, the Church said, we have to really examine this theologically and sociologically. And the Church said, we are not practicing love if we use these words of Scripture in the context of 1976 instead of in the context of the year 32, when they were probably first said, and then written down by Matthew around the year 80. So the Church has unpacked this and said, what this means is that we are to enter into relationships with ourselves, with others, and with God, based in love. And that it is in love that we are to build our relationships. But we also, as Jesus forgave everybody else and included people who had made mistakes and still didn't throw them away, we must not make an exception around marriage. We must also be inclusive and accepting and loving. In addition to this, there was no social structure at the time. At the time of Jesus, basically, like we 500 years later, you may have heard about the Muslims saying, "You, the man can say to his wife, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and the marriage is done." Well, in the time of Jesus, that was similar in the Jewish tradition. You could go to the rabbi and say, "I can't live with her anymore, I want a divorce." He would write you out a certificate of divorce, and that was it, whether you had kids or not. Well, it's not that way today in our world. And so they said we cannot use the Bible as a weapon for our own prejudices, our own problems, and not use the Bible in a literalistic way that we don't use in any other way. And so the Church said, how we reconcile this is if you've had a marriage and you've worked at trying to resolve issues within the marriage and it's not resolvable, then that marriage is dead. And so if the marriage is dead, then you're free to remarry. And that's the essence of what's known as the marriage canon. And I remember over the years, because I was already ordained when the marriage canon came in, that it was like a freeing statement for people. At last the Church was understanding and applying the love of Jesus to people in their own personal relationships. So if you heard that read today and you know of people or you yourself are there, it's not meant as a weapon. It's meant as a framework of love, and today we are working to apply that love in a realistic way. If you're in a marriage yourselves today that you are struggling within, I suggest that it's okay to find marriage counsel. It's an important thing to do. But it's also okay to remember that we are human beings and we are capable of making mistakes. And making a mistake is not a sin. And so we are called to always be loving, compassionate, and restorative. And before we got into that part of the gospel reading about the divorce, Jesus first was calling us to think about reconciliation. And that reconciliation is a primary energy for Christians then, Christians now. That we are called to reconcile. We are called to take a pause and to listen to where the other person is at. Our country right now is working at reconciliation with First Nations people. And we are going through a difficult time across the nation. And we see that the trains aren't running and so on, and there's lots of agitation. But we pray for reconciliation. We pray that leaders of intelligence from all various facets of this issue come with the best of intention, the best of love, the best of listening, and work at resolving the issues in an amicable way for everyone's benefit. It's not easy, and they'll need our prayers. But again, as progressive Anglicans, we pray for that. We pray for reconciliation across our nation. We pray for reconciliation within our families, reconciliation within ourselves. For Jesus loves us. The foundation of Jesus is love, not hate. To be included, not excluded. To be restored, not destroyed. So the message today that I feel called upon by God to share is that we are the people of hope. We are the people of love. We are people on a road of restoration. And I pray that today as we receive the sacrament, we know it's a sacrament given to us in love and that it's calling upon us to be restored in our relationships to ourselves, to the planet, to our neighbors, and to God. And I pray that as we are moving towards the season of Lent, a time of self-reflection, that it may be a time of insight for us all as we work at personal reconciliation. For God loves us and wants us to be whole, a whole people of God, fully alive on a journey with Him in love and life. May God bless us all. Amen.